Chapter 10. The room smelled of brandy. The glass had slipped from his oblivious fingers and spilled its contents onto the carpet. Beyond the apartment window, the sky's darkness had given way to first light, the impudent splendor of Coruscant's brash night fading to its discreet daytime face. With a shaking hand, he retrieved the beeping comlink and acknowledged receipt of the communication. The beeping stopped. His apartment fell silent. So silent, he could hear his hard-beating heart. Sweat prickled his skin. His breathing felt ragged. A spike of pain between his eyes woke to stabbing life. He took the comlink into his bedroom and connected it to the small data reader he kept in his bedside odds and ends drawer. It was an old Alderaanian unit, battered and outmoded, not worth a second look. At least, that was how it appeared on the outside. Inside, it had been remade. Upgraded to an unmatched sophistication. A series of apparently random characters came up on the data reader's screen. Decoding them was a manual task. He'd committed the decryption algorithm to memory years ago. It was part of the arrangement. The process of downloading a message from the comlink to the data reader triggered an automatic com wipe. No record of the incoming message remained. The same protection was built into the data reader. He had precisely 5 minutes to decode the downloaded transmission. After that, it was also wiped. That was part of the arrangement, too. Because this was too important to get wrong, he jotted down the message's random symbols onto old-fashioned flimsyplast with an old-fashioned pen. Probably his contact would be horrified to learn that, but he or she never would, and it couldn't be helped. He wasn't prepared to make a mistake. Besides, flimsy could be burned, his scribbling lost forever to prying eyes. Once the message was decoded, he stared at it. Was this right? Could it be right? Secrecy was his mysterious benefactor's watchword, paranoia their religion. They could be wrong, couldn't they? And surely the Jedi would know of this, surely. Don't try second-guessing them now, Organa thought. Either you trust them or you don't. He activated his house droid. There's brandy spilled in the living room. Clean it up and then I want breakfast.
Yes, sir,
said the droid and withdrew. Next, he placed a call to Padme's apartment.
I'm sorry, sir,
said her officious protocol droid. It actually sounded offended. It even looked offended. How was that possible?
I'm afraid my mistress has not yet arisen. Perhaps you'd care to call back at a more reasonable...
The criffing thing was arguing with him? Perhaps you didn't quite catch my name, he said, letting his temper loose just a little. This is Senator Bail Organa, and my business can't wait. As the protocol droid dithered, a familiar voice spoke in the background.
3PO, what's going on?
The droid turned.
Oh, Mistress Padme, I am so sorry. I was just trying to explain to Senator Organa that you were...
Bail?
Said Padme, appearing on the view screen, pushing the droid aside.
What is it? What's happened?
She'd had as little sleep as he, probably, but it was impossible to tell. Padme's stamina appeared to be inexhaustible. Sorry to call so early, Senator, but I've got a full day of meetings lined up and I needed to run some of my tactical analyses past you. Can we meet in, say, half an hour? I'll come to you. She didn't answer immediately. Questions burned in her eyes. But she didn't ask them. Amazing woman.
To me? Yes,
she said at last.
Of course.
She sounded quite relaxed, but he could see the tension in her. He had no doubt she saw it in him, too.
Half an hour.
Relief flooded through him as the vidlink disconnected. He reread the decoded message 3 more times, made certain it was accurately committed to memory, then burned it and washed the ashes down the kitchen sink. After that, he showered, changed, bolted down his breakfast, and departed for Padme's residence.